Thank you very much. Love it to have you, Ed. Love it to have you looking at home.
Alex is sitting in her apartment above Luigi's restaurant, watching Larry Grayson's Generation game.
I know that.
She switches it off and sees Molly's reflection on the screen. Alex turns around and Molly does vanish, leaving her sitting alone.
Give location of area card, over.
Wapping Wall, we're heading east.
Wapping Wall, roger that, over and out.
Jean's red Coupe is racing round some back streets in pursuit of a large white van.
Steady on, Grover nearly lost me breakfast then.
What is that?
It's your kebab.
It's like a bloody pasty with his arse hanging out.
The van skids round a corner with Jean close behind. Chris is eating in the back seat.
If you think I'm going to let them slip through the net by driving like a tart, you are very much mistaken.
Go on, go, we nearly got the bastards!
They speed down a deserted street that's lined with metal lock-up doors. The white van screeches to a stop next to a high wall beside the river. As it skids on the loose road surface, the back doors swing open and some boxes fall out. Two men jump out and start throwing the cargo into the river as Jean and his team arrive. Chris grabs one of the men and Ray gets the other, holding him up for Jean to punch as he passes.
She collects them.
Oh, very touching.
Jean walks to the back of the van and picks up one of the colourful garden gnomes that have come out of the boxes.
Marianne Faithful.
Inside are several large packets of white powder.
Just because I am stuck here doesn't mean I have to pretend to like it.
Chris hauls the man off. Alex, who's standing by the car, glares at Jean, then goes over to him. She walks off past an old skip, which she peers into, then up some steps next to the river wall. She stands against the railings at the top, watching discarded gnomes floating down the river, then sees someone sitting on a dilapidated pier.
Make your mind up, woman.
It's a young woman who appears to be crying. Alex watches with concern.
You all right, love?
Jean joins her at the top of the steps, and they both look at the woman who's staring down into the water, rocking slightly.
My name is Alex Drake. I've just been
the woman
shot
looks round at them, slightly afraid, then turns back and carries on crying.
Or 1 second away from death. All I know is that I have to keep fighting. Fight to live. Fight to see my daughter. Fight to get home.
BBC. Ashes to Ashes. Starring Philip Glenister, Keely Hall, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster, and Montserrat Lombard. Co-created by Ashley Farrow and Matthew Graham.
I need a piss.
It's on sweet.
Someone's nicked the box.
Written by Julie Rutherford.
Nailed down.
The station's full of garden gnomes.
Cognitive interview procedure.
We're fresh out of cognitives. What say we just talk to her?
I don't think she'll open up with a man present.
Plenty of women have opened up to me without so much as a shandy down their neck.
Jean walks down the corridor to Alex.
I'd say I blame her. Trust me.
What's this bit?
Canteen. Toaster. Right, here we go.
Jean opens the door and Alex goes into the room, leaving him outside. Chris is at the front desk and picks up a box.
Well?
Promise me something.
What?
Don't gloat.
Oh dear. The cognitive approach didn't work.
You promised.
He takes a handful of gnomes away.
She's traumatized.
Alex comes out.
Keep her here.
Shaz, check out the missing persons file.
Yes, Kat. Her name's Nina. Doesn't want to go home, wants to stay here.
Where's home?
Don't know, I couldn't get anything else out of her.
Why does she keep scratching herself all over?
I don't know, could be nerves, could be self-harming. Whatever's happened to that young girl's frightened the life out of her.
Wait till you hear this one, Guff. Frozzy wants to make a complaint of rape.
Rape?
Drake!
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a beard. Yeah, and a fishing rod. It's broken.
Jean walks off. Alex stares sadly down at the floor.
Right here, love. Come pick him up anytime.
Trixie, real name Patricia Walsh. Recently promoted from the streets to Escort work. Some more beaks and Daffy Duck at a family knees up.
He breaks the rod.
She's trying to kid.
Well, they say it's difficult for rape victims to be believed. I wonder why.
She gets paid for having sex.
It's not about sex, is it? It's about control and power and revenge. You know, I don't
maybe
know
tell me about it some other time, you know, when I'm in a coma, when I'm dead.
Will they interview him? Where's the rape suite?
Rape suite? What, is that with or without a minibar?
Not like a hotel suite.
So where did this rape take place?
On that big flash boat up by Tower Bridge.
Which boat?
I don't know. Sky something, I think.
I'll get Chris onto it. So, the escort agency you work for booked you with a client?
It took me to a party on this boat. Load of posh sorts there. As many champagne cocktails as you like.
What, so you were drunk?
I can hold my own.
What, do you charge extra for that? Or...
Carry on, Trixie.
It gets late. I goes into this cabin where I thought the client was, but it turns out he'd gone. When someone comes in, switches the lights out, puts a key in the door to lock it. I thought it was the client, but it wasn't.
Were guests given keys to the cabins?
Not that I know of.
So it had to be somebody who worked on the boat?
I guess so.
Trixie, can you describe the man who raped you?
Well, it was dark, so I didn't get a proper look at him. But he was skinny, curly hair, wore a suit, I think. Posh accent.
So we're looking for a skinny, curly-haired bloke in a suit who was on a big boat somewhere on the river. Right, better crack on. We've got about a million suspects to interview before we knock off. Dehydrate, shall we?
I knew it'd be a waste of time coming here.
Congratulations, Puss in Boots. First sensible thing you've said. Now, I suggest you drop this quicker than you drop your drawers, otherwise I'm going to arrest you for wasting police time.
Just, you know, it's upsetting talking about it.
Of course it is. Just take your time, Trixie.
I thought it was just another punter, after the usual straight sex. He was all right at first. Said I was beautiful.
Blimey, it was dark.
Beautiful on the outside.
Jean sits back down again.
Is it? But then he turns weird. He starts saying, you're all impure. Calling me names. Filthy whore and stuff. Next thing he's digging a ring into me. It felt like a sovereign ring. That's when he raped me. And then he started to strangle me.
Did you struggle?
I was too scared to. He had a knife. He slashed me with it. I thought he was going to kill me. I'm telling you, this bloke, whoever he is, he's going to do it again. He's a nutter.
Where did he cut you, Trixie?
Left breast.
Could we see? When do you say our hunters left the room?
When you're done, word.
Jean looks around, very unimpressed, then puts his pen in his jacket pocket.
Across the left breast.
About 8 weeks ago.
He walks out, and Alex smiles reassuringly at Trixie. Jean waits in the corridor.
She's been raped, probably. Beaten and strangled. And her breast had been slashed. Left breast.
Is she a sex worker?
Prozzy, no, far from it. Regular church girl in the choir. Decent family life, lived at home, no boyfriends.
Suspects?
Well, we all did the usual pervs and psychos, nothing.
So the only thing to link Delphine and Trixie are the injuries, especially the one to the breast?
Correct. Although the detail about the breast was never released to the press.
So how would Trixie know about it?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Well, let's pull Delphine's file.
A collection of photographs of Delphine, a portrait, her as a child in a group, one of her dancing. There's a book entitled The Holy Spirit and a photo of her in a blue choir uniform, sitting next to an older man. There are several of her with another girl of the same age.
You okay? We.
As Alex looks through them, her mind wanders back to talking to Molly, then hugging her intensely. Jean walks up to her desk and leans on it.
Why would she carry that around with her?
Presumably as a keepsake. The choir was a big part of her life. Now.
Alex flicks through a small Bible with a photo of the choir in the middle.
And that was also found with the body.
God is in the detail, huh?
I know you've all seen these before, but look again. Is there anything in them that might connect the murder of Delphine Parks to the injury sustained?
A similar framed photo.
We should never have that kebab.
D.I. Drake has a theory.
The cut is on the same breast, but it's different to the one on Trixie Walsh. It's deeper. This is a disorganised crime, whereas the attack on Trixie, although violent, is more organised, it's more thought out. There's also a lesion on Delphine that isn't on Trixie.
Yeah, she was wearing this St. Christopher, which was ripped off her during the attack.
Fingerprints?
No traces.
What were her last movements?
She left work as normal, had something to eat, and told her mum she was going to the church, although there wasn't any choir practice that night.
Did she often go to church when there was no choir practice?
My mum and dad said that she'd been a few times, yeah.
Witnesses?
Night she was killed, an old dear who goes to the same church saw her there alone. That was an hour before the estimated time of death.
And how long would it take her to get from the church back to her home?
Well, on foot, which she was. Between 15, 20 minutes.
So she either met somebody on her way home from church or she went somewhere else afterwards. Boyfriend?
We checked out all the blokes where she worked and all the blokes who went to her church. Watertight alibis, the lot of them.
OK, so we need to retrace her steps, see if we've missed anything.
Is that a dig?
No, just a fresh pair of eyes might uncover something new.
Oh, it's all right, lads. Wonder Woman's
here. FYI, D.I. Carly.
FYI what?
I think she means FBI.
Where's CID?
The only thing I'm interested in here is finding out what's happened. If you want to sit there making smug comments, that's fine.
Time of the month.
Mrs. Parks.
She walks out.
You got him?
No, not yet. But we're doing everything we can, I promise.
Outside a church with two large trees on either side of it, Jean and Alex approach an older black woman.
It doesn't take away the pain, but it eases it a little. I can still hear Delphine's voice in the choir. Such a pure, sweet voice like you've never heard. People say I may be cracking up, but I hope I never stop hearing it. You want to come in?
Where were you when she needed you?
Oh, happy day.
They follow Mrs. Parks into the church, although Jean pauses thoughtfully first and addresses a cross on the way in. The choir sings inside. Mrs. Parks is sitting in a pew watching them. Alex sits away from her. But Jean sits next to her. As Alex watches the choir, she starts to see a montage of images. She sees a close-up of the singers, then a photo of Delphine in the morgue, and another of her smiling with a friend. There are images of Alex's mum and dad getting in a car, then it explodes. The Pierrot looms at her and disappears. Then Alex is watching the choir again. The Pierrot walks quickly through a cemetery and crouches down to look at her. Then her mum.
Beautiful on the outside. You're all in pure.
More pictures of Delphine. Her mother. The Pierrot.
Trixie said the man who raped her told her that she was beautiful on the outside, but impure. You're all impure.
Suddenly, Alex reaches for the Bible in front of her and looks through it until she finds a certain page, which she reads.
Beautiful on the
outside,
but filled on the inside with dead men's bones and all sorts of impurities. It's Matthew chapter 23, verses 27-28.
So he's a religious nutter.
Except on a day-to-day basis, he probably functions perfectly normally. He won't have had successful relationships with women. He's sexually dysfunctional. He tries to replace sex with God and realises that he can't.
And you can tell all this from a quote in the Bible.
Well, I've worked on cases similar to this before. He cuts the breast because it's symbolic. You know, it's the nurturer, the suckler. But it's a literal attack on femininity, on womanhood.
Don't you ever get brain ache?
This man has unresolved anger.
Go for the details on that chick you asked for.
He's cleansing society of these impure women, and we have to stop him before he kills again.
Well, at least Delphine's attacker existed.
Why would Trixie lie?
Because she wants to get one over the agency that sacked her. An agency girl that accuses a client of rape, I mean, that's going to go down about as well as a pork pie at a Jewish wedding.
If I'd wanted to get my own back, I'd have just gone to work for another agency.
He said you rolled a punter.
He never paid the agreed fee. I just took what was mine.
He hands Alex the paperwork. Then they're with Trixie in the interview room.
I'm begging you to believe me. I was raped. Nearly killed. The bloke who did it. He's going to try and kill one of us again. You've got to stop him. Please.
We will.
You know, you might be a good performer at work, love. You don't cut it with me.
Does this look like the boat where it happened?
No, I think so.
We bring in all members of staff, every single one that was on the boat the night that Trixie was attacked.
No, we don't.
What?
The boat is owned by a Mr. Leonard Rosebery Sykes, who's a bigger pain in the arse than a bad dose of piles.
So he's a pain in the arse. Why should that stop us questioning suspects?
Because Mr. Rosebery Sykes is a member of the Funny Handshake Brigade, along with our dearly beloved Commissioner of the Met, which means he's got the Commissioner by the bollocks, which means he's got us by the bollocks. Well, some of us, at least.
So what, do we just do nothing?
We play it softly, softly.
It's a waste of time, all this, anyway, isn't it, Gov? I mean, we've only got the word of some Tom to go on.
Oh. And that's what you all think, is it? Whether you believe Trixie or not, somebody cut her. Someone hurt her and someone left her for dead. Now, what is it going to take for you to realise that prostitutes need your protection just as much as anybody else? What, another Yorkshire Ripper? Sod the lot of you. I'm going to go and do something I should have done a long time ago.
Looking for a transfer with any luck.
Drake, where are you going?
Somewhere my subconscious thinks I should be.
Can I help you?
After storming off, she approaches the door of Caroline Price, solicitor. Alex is standing outside looking up at it when a younger Evan comes out.
I was just looking for Caroline.
Oh, I'm afraid
Alex has a flashback to Molly hugging Evan, then him running down a hill, someone Evan letting a red balloon go.
God, you were gorgeous.
Were?
You won't believe how glad I am to see you.
Thank you. Gosh, if only I had this effect on all the attractive women I met.
Oh, you will.
Thank you for the vote of confidence. Do you think I could have my hand back?
Yeah, sorry.
Message? For Caroline?
No. No message. I was just looking for some reassurance, really, from someone I trust, but it doesn't matter, it's not important.
So what are you going to do without that reassurance?
What do you think I should do?
Do you think I'm the right person to ask, considering I've only actually known you for a matter of seconds?
No. But if you did know me?
I'd say go with your instinct. Good luck.
Bloody hell, is she?
He smiles and walks away, looking back once as he heads off down the road. Jean's driving round in his car. They take a turn and drive through some old back streets with unkempt buildings and more lockups.
I had a soft spot for the lame ducks. Like a mum to the other girls, no kids.
Jean finds Alex talking to some prostitutes in an alleyway.
Dodgy love. Or if any girls go missing, call me. Do you want the car or shall I?
Are you stalking me, Hunt?
What are you up to?
I'm warning these girls about Trixie's attacker. Somebody has to.
He watches as she hands the girl her number, then walks over towards him.
Hormones. It's always hormones.
Maybe I should go down to King's Cross.
Why, we're not paying you enough.
I just want them to be safe.
Am I missing someone here? But why are you so bothered about them?
Does there have to be a reason?
Yes.
All right, okay. The skeleton in the closet. The private education, years at Oxbridge, all counted for nothing, really. Because I, Alex Drake, was once a prostitute.
Bloody hell. I knew it.
There. Said it.
Christ on a bike.
That wasn't as bad as I thought it might be.
You're telling me that you lied to get into the force?
No, actually.
Me?
What I just told you was a lie. I said it to show how your preconceptions can inform your judgments about other people, especially prostitutes. Sorry.
Sometimes I hate you, Drake.
So I'm not how you would expect a prostitute to be. If I said that I'd been raped, you would believe me, but not someone like Trixie, not a woman like that.
No, not hate, despise.
All right. So I'm not a hooker. But if I was, do you know something, Jean? You could never, ever afford me.
You know, you might talk with a plum in your gob-love. I would rather go with one of them than waste my money on some bitter, twisted, messed up, clenched-arsed, toffee-nosed bitch like you. You feel better now?
No. Better now.
She slaps him hard around the face.
Come on, ladies, what are you waiting for? Just get pissed.
Then punches him.
A proper punch?
Yeah.
Alex walks to the car where Chris and Ray have been watching and waiting.
She'll wrap him around her little finger.
You should get help.
Yeah, and you should get some manners.
In Luigi's.
Bitch.
It was hardly worth a smack in her chops.
Could have been worse. I could have aimed far lower. So, am I forgiven?
Well, let you know when I can fill me gob.
I was right, though. Any woman who walks into your station deserves to be treated equally, sex worker or not.
Sex worker? You talk about them as though they're your mates. I would have thought your sort are more the old, Pims on the Lawn Brigade.
Yeah, of course they are.
You know, I bet you've got the names of a couple of minor royals in your address book, haven't you? I bet you're on first-name terms with them Armstrong Joneses.
Sorry, no. No. No mates to speak of. Not anymore. Tell me, do you ever get lonely, Jean?
Jeannie, lonely? Too busy clearing the streets of Cockney.
Several glasses of wine are filled. Then Alex is leaning on the bar, her eyes closed.
Sometimes. But if I ever hear you repeat that, I will have to stamp on your pretty little head.
Why can't I just enjoy the last few seconds of life? I mean, it doesn't all have to be about pain, does it?
No. What doesn't?
What do you do, Jean? Last few seconds on Earth. Anything you want. Right now.
Well, anything.
Anything.
Right now.
Right now. Say it.
I'm drunk. And you're very drunk.
He looks at her intensely, their faces close together.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the right thing. And you should go to bed, Molly.
Jean sits back and finishes his drink.
Champagne should never be drunk alone.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
He leaves, and Alex rolls her eyes. Then someone puts the bottle down next to her.
She'll be dropping her knickers right here, the way she's going on.
Think I should say something to her.
She finds a suited young man.
You are so not my type.
Later, really? And Ray's watching them slow dance.
Your place on mine.
Mine. On one condition.
Chris and Shaz watch as they start
what?
Snogging.
You let me ping your braces.
Ray looks round at them, then shakes his head. They kiss again, Then they're heading into Alex's bedroom and ripping each other's clothes off. They fall against the wall, kissing. Then he picks her up and throws her on the bed. The television channel's closing down for the night when suddenly the Pierrot appears on the screen. He looks directly out into the room. Then his face merges with a young girl's, but Alex is fast asleep and oblivious. She rolls over in her sleep, and the television goes dead. Morning. Alex stirs, slowly and painfully.
Hello? Hi.
She sits up in bed with great care and looks around, dazed. Then she reaches for the phone.
I'll be in. See you later. Bye.
I can't.
You're going to have to.
Don't make me, I can't.
You can't stay here. Now, on your way.
I can't.
Come on.
She puts it back on the receiver and buries her face in the pillow.
Just trying to get her to go.
At the station.
No, please.
Look, you're going, okay?
Put her in the records room. Keep an eye on her.
Yes, ma'am.
That girl's home life must be bad. To make her want to stay here.
Be honest, Viv.
Fine.
Word of advice. Don't bother with poker.
Alex leans on the counter and lowers her sunglasses.
You've been snugging up, Prozzy?
Piss off. Burnt it on a cheese and tomato toasty on that bastard Breville thing.
He pulls a pained face as she walks away. In the office, Ray's got a red mark on his lip.
Make him one anyway.
Poof.
God, Ray, what's up with your lip?
It's not that bloody bad.
Got a dose of the old pox, Raymondo.
I burnt my lip, Gov, all right. It's just a burn. Whoa.
Morning.
Jean walks in and stares at him.
Good night last night, was it, Inspector?
Yeah, thanks, Ray.
Alex comes in.
Look a bit tired. You've been up all night, have you?
Nearly. But you know what? It was really worth it.
She takes a gnome off her desk and drops it in the bin.
Old fur coat and no knickers, that one. Hey, she might not have been lying when she said she used to be a hooker.
Staff names from the Sunball, Mum. There's a fancy dress party on board there tonight. I could hire you all costumes.
Ray sits down opposite Chris.
Yeah, great, thanks, Shaz.
Can I ask you something?
Of course you can.
Was it really that good? You know, what you were on about just now.
It was amazing.
Chris looks over at them, frowning and confused.
How's the hangover?
Yeah,
Jean points into his office, and Alex wearily gets up from her desk.
Feel it now.
There's a party tonight on the Sunball.
She follows him in.
And check out the staff for Trixie's rapist.
Look, I don't get all feminist on me, but tongues are wagging.
There's nothing I can't handle.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want you getting a name for yourself.
Oh, God, you really are a 1981 construct through and through, aren't you? It's amazing.
I am trying to help you here.
Well, I don't need your help. Their archaic attitude is their problem, it's not mine.
Wrong. It's my problem. To keep this department running smoothly, I need their respect, which I've got. They look up to me, they should be looking up to you and all.
What do you want me to morph into a nun? It's not like I've shagged an entire rugby team, is it?
I bet she has.
It's your fault anyway.
Why is it my fault?
Because you left me on my own and I ended up with some Thatcherite wanker.
I told you to go to bed alone. If you'd listened to me in the first place, I wouldn't be wasting my time having this ridiculous conversation.
That's right, that's right. We are wasting time when we should be making a plan for tonight.
Get those fancy dress costumes, Shaz.
She walks out. A large white boat on the river with its gangplank going down to the harbour. People are walking aboard in fancy dress.
He could have made an effort.
On the boat, Gene is dressed as a cowboy with a hat on and a poncho over his shoulders, while Alex is by the railings in a cat's outfit. She struts over to him.
It might do it for Monica Lewinsky, but it does nothing for me.
Monica who?
Some girl who's tipped to go down well in the White House.
There's Chris and Ray.
Sorry, can't see a thing in these. Hey, Superman and Clark Kent. Good, eh?
Don't call me that, we're undercover.
Sorry. They look around.
Remember, you're looking for skinny, curly haired bloke wearing a sock. Look out him over there.
No, he's not skinny, is he?
Keep it out. That's the third person who thought I was a waiter. What are you supposed to be?
The name's Bond.
James Bond?
Well, James Bond.
They're looking at Ray in a tuxedo.
This is Breville Lip. He's either that or Jesus.
Right. Split up. See if any of these waiters fit Trix's description. What about him?
No, straight hair. What about that one?
No, he's not wearing a ring. Drake, sovereign ring over there.
Alex looks round at a young man.
Time for a little bit of role play, I think.
Someone pouring champagne wears a large sovereign ring. Alex goes over and whispers something in his ear.
It's not him. Let's keep looking.
He says something back and she laughs, then walks slowly back to where Jean's standing watching.
Everybody thinks I'm a waiter.
Ray looks round at several men dancing. Then he sees a waiter holding a tray of champagne glasses.
Christ, you could actually be onto something, Bolly. Over there.
He's wearing a sovereign ring and has longish, slightly wavy hair.
Choir.
Ray gets Jean's attention and nods over towards
Let's
him.
Go.
Just remember, softly, softly, Drake. That's Rosby Sykes. He smells a rat, we go. Upset him and we're all in the shit.
He looks at a white-haired man.
I've got an idea. Maybe we can provoke a reaction. Tell him you think women like me are dirty. Tell him you think I'm like a prostitute.
The waiter they're interested in carries a large cake with sparklers on it and puts it down in front of two women.
Just be yourself.
Jammy Brast.
Alex puts her glass down, grabs Ray's hand, and leads him onto the dance floor, watched enviously by Chris. They dance raunchily together, her standing with her back to him and rubbing against him.
No amount of water could ever get a woman like that clean.
The waiter watches intently as Alex gets angry with Ray and pushes him away.
Women like her.
Jean sidles up to him.
Impure. Very.
She may be beautiful on the outside,
but filled on the inside with dead men's bones and all sorts of impurity.
What's your name, sir?
Ryan.
Full name, sir?
Ryan Burns. Why do you ask?
Ryan Burns, I'm arresting you for the rape and attempted murder of Miss Trixie Walsh.
Alex walks up to him.
What's going on?
Nothing. This young lady was just having a little chat with...
A rape took place on your boat 2 nights ago, Mr. Rosebery Sykes. This man here is a suspect.
Rape? There must be some mistake.
I'm afraid not. Now, if we'll just come quietly, we can get this over and done with.
Another waiter, all right. James Bond.
Oh, no! This is unbelievable.
Yeah, right, go now. Sorry to cause this inconvenience, sir.
Ray.
He's not worth it. Stay.
He attacks the guest.
Hello again, Inspector.
Hello.
Ray walks away.
Recognize this woman.
Alex enters the interview room.
Hello, sir.
And sees Evan.
She was on the Sunborn the night of the alleged rape. You were on duty. We checked.
I was, but...
Jean comes in, and they sit down opposite Evan and Ryan.
Sexually assault the complainant. All this is completely circumstantial. Has anyone witnessed it?
No.
So the only witness to this alleged crime is the complainant? A prostitute?
Correct.
Have you ever had sex with a prostitute before, Mr. Burns?
You really don't have to answer that.
I wouldn't. I couldn't.
You were the only one that used the exact quote from the Bible that the victim says you used.
As far as I'm aware, quoting from the Bible doesn't make someone a rapist.
Shall we let Mr. Burns speak for himself?
Did you or did you not rape and assault Trixie Walsh?
Look, I swear, I did not rape or assault Trixie Walsh. And I've never even seen her. As God is my witness.
Find out anything you can about Ryan Burns. Check and double-check the statements that placed him in the park at the time of Delphine's...
Alex
murder.
Turns from Ryan to Jean. Then she's going through Delphine's
right.
New Testament again
really
and looking at her choir photo.
Who keeps hanging around the station.
What, Nina? What's she done to deserve them?
Well, they can't make a balls up of that, can they?
We had a dog that used to...
Jean walks back into his office, scowling. Chris and Ray are standing in the records office, both staring at Nina, who's sitting on a chair, scratching her hand. Ray prompts Chris to say something.
Had to be put down in the end.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well?
That's us bollocksed.
Nina looks up at them.
Rosebery Sykes has been on the commissioner.
In Jean's office.
He's victimising his staff. Unless we can get something that sticks, we're going to have to let Burns go. And right now we've got Sweet F.A.
I know this won't mean anything to you, but I just wanted to say that I honestly think that I'm right. And if I'd had more time, I could have...
Not time, patience. You weren't in possession of all the facts. You couldn't present a strong enough case.
Alex is leaning with her head against the wall.
Yes, I do.
When Evan walks past her.
Oh, one of us has got to be wrong.
It's not a question of being wrong. It's a question of doing the right thing. Ryan Burns should have somebody fight his corner, whether he's innocent or not. How's your Latin?
It's rusty.
Alios tractor sicut te ipsum.
Treat others as yourself.
Not so rusty.
I remember that. Those.
Really? Wow. They've only just come out. It's for Alex, my boss's daughter, though she's probably going to say she's too old for toys.
I bet she loves it when you spoil her.
Well, she's worth every penny.
Is she?
Definitely. Well then, Inspector Drake.
Alex.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Alex, I hope we meet again. It's been unique.
OK. Getting to know the enemy.
Do you know what? I'm not even sure that you and I are on the same side anymore.
Well, let's put that to the test, shall we? I went with your idea on Trixie Walsh's story.
Jean stands and watches as Evan leaves.
Your alleged rapist, Ryan Burns, doesn't even remember seeing you. Never mind having sex with you.
Well, he would say that, wouldn't he?
About the only thing
they go into a room where Trixie's sitting at a table.
What kind of ring was it again?
Sovereign.
Sure?
Yeah.
Like this, was it?
Yeah.
So how can you be sure? Because you said it was dark. Well, you got X-ray vision.
I'm pretty sure.
Do you know what I think? I think I've got X-ray vision because I can see right through you. You've made this whole thing up, haven't you? And I want to know why.
I can't tell you.
Can't or won't?
Both.
You weren't raped, were you?
Don't let that bastard get off. He's sick.
No, sweetheart. You're sick.
Sorry it took so long. I didn't know if you wanted sugar.
Ray carries a plate of biscuits and a drink into Nina. He puts them down on the table, holding a tin under his arm. He pulls up a chair and sits opposite her, smiling, but Nina carries on fiddling with her scarf, eyes downcast. Ray takes off his shoe and suddenly lifts his hand up with his black sock over it.
Spit the dog. That was rubbish, wasn't it?
It whispers in his ear.
You should smile more. It suits you.
Don't let him off!
The sock spits at her.
This isn't right. You shouldn't have let him go. Will someone listen to me? I want justice!
Jack! Tough tits, you got me instead.
Nina smiles and nods.
Get it.
No thanks. What happened to your lip?
Oh, burnt it. Everyone keeps pulling my leg, saying I've been kissing a prosy. I mean...
Ray offers Nina a cigarette.
Like me?
Yeah, I like you. You seem like a nice kid.
No, like me.
What, you mean you're a...
He lights his cigarette.
You're having me on. Nice girl like you.
Don't believe me.
No, I don't think I do, love. Why would you want to make something up like that?
I'm not.
She nods.
Hang on a minute, love.
If I was such a nice girl, why would someone do this to me?
And Nina actually told you this?
She showed me the cut.
She starts unbuttoning her top.
Covered in bruises. She knows that Trixie. It was her who got her into the escort agency. She'd only just started.
Ray stares in shock.
It wasn't Trixie who was raped, it was Nina. Trixie knew that Nina would be too traumatised to come to us, so she faked the rape as her own. She was just trying to protect
I
her.
I know.
What do you mean you know?
Well, once old Motormouth here...
Jean comes out of the interview room.
Talking. The truth came out eventually.
If anything happens to one of those girls, you lot won't know what's hit you.
Why would Ryan Burns try and kill Nina?
Why would he kill Delphine? What was his motive? Shaz, that's been a magnifier.
She walks off. In the office...
What have you got?
A link, hopefully. Yeah, look, in this photograph... Burns is wearing the St. Christopher, but in this...
Jean's looking at the choir Delphine. Photos.
They were courting.
Everything significant.
I don't get why he killed her, though, Mom.
Maybe he didn't mean to kill her. He thought he loved her. She rejected him, which made him feel impure. He lashed out, ripped the St. Christopher off her. And afterwards he felt dirty and needed someone to take out his self-hatred on. When he realised Nina worked for an escort agency, he had to kill her.
Let's just get the twisted bastard.
He'll go after prostitutes again.
How about further repairs?
Somewhere. Skinny, curly hair, look like butter wouldn't melt.
Where did they go?
Further up by the river there. Jean!
Come on, Doug.
In the alley where the prostitutes work, the men are talking to one woman while Alex talks to another.
White escort in there.
They all head off towards the car. Then they're speeding round the back roads again. They go past a large derelict warehouse with a wide open entranceway. Jean slams on the brakes, reverses, and drives inside. He parks right behind the empty white car.
Ray.
They make their way towards an open door and down some steps. There's a hole in the ceiling above them to the next floor. Jean looks up at it. Ray heads over towards a metal ladder attached to the wall. Jean and Alex carry on looking around while he starts climbing it. Jean looks up at the sound. The place is full of shadows, nooks and crannies, holes in the ceiling. From within a darkened doorway, Ryan slowly walks out, holding the prostitute in front of him with a knife to her neck.
No, I can't.
Come on, Ryan. Very Christian, that, is it?
The others turn and see him.
I'm helping her.
They walk slowly towards him,
to lead
then stop.
A good life! To be fruitful for God!
By raping and murdering.
I am the vine. You are the branches. John chapter 15, verse 5.
You're nicked. For the murder of Delphine Parks, the rape and attempted murder of Nina Akoboa. Anything you say will be taken down, ripped up and shoved down your scrawny little throat until you choke to death.
Ray creeps up behind him and grabs him.
Chapter 1, verse 2. Ray, scum. Do you want the bad news or the really bad news? That Sonia's legged it.
He punches Ryan, then drags him out.
Sent down is Nina.
Jean's in his office, rubbing his brow, while Alex sits nearby.
Do you think you can pick him out in a lineup?
Will he see me?
I'll come with you. Don't worry, love. I won't let him intimidate you. Promise.
The interview
we'll help
room.
You out as much as we can, Nina. But when you're in the courtroom, you're on your own.
Nina nods confidently.
Will they bring up what I used to do?
Probably.
So, when it comes down to it, it's just my word against his.
In a nutshell, love, yeah.
Will they believe me?
We can't say.
Well, we can. I would love to be wrong about this, sweetheart, but you've got about as much chance of convincing this jury as Michael Foote has of becoming Prime Minister.
Well, in that case, I don't think I can go through with it. I don't want it to go to court. Sorry.
Now do you understand why I wanted to do this instead of her?
Take care, won't you? Look after
her? Yeah, well, I'll try. Right instinct.
Jean lowers his head. Out in the corridor.
I'm afraid I can't comment.
Ryan sees Nina and Trixie leaving. Alex to Evan. He walks off with a sympathetic smile.
Go on, then.
Jean steps into the corridor and stands next to Ray, who walks off. Then Jean makes his way up to where Alex is standing, looking fed up.
So, is there something wrong with my hearing? I could have sworn you just said did the right thing.
Well, with 5% of rape cases ending in conviction, chance would she have had?
Yeah, well, you never know. Maybe it'll change one day.
Don't hold your breath.
My place.
Sorry, I'm with a friend.
Alex is sitting at the bar in Luigi's when the man she slept with speaks into her ear.
I hope they don't start a fire, Signore Hunt.
No, you're all right.
Jean glares at him. Luigi takes a bottle over to the other's table.
Your turn.
Well, you've got insurance, haven't you?
Oh, my Lord, Louis.
Ray sets his finger on fire.
What are we supposed to be celebrating?
Chris dips his finger in the drink and tries to light it, but only burns himself. Jean pours Alex a drink.
10 kilos of cocaine. The drugs were found hidden inside garden gnomes in Burns' car. If found guilty...
He nods at a television on the wall.
You didn't.
Not me.
Well, maybe I've got you all wrong, Ray. Maybe you're not the stereotypical Neanderthal I had you down as.
Hey, Ray. Quid says you can't light your farts for one of these.
Make it a fiver and you're on.
Jean turns and looks at Ray.
Then again.
Every story has to be about something, I suppose. This one steps...